Remember when you graduated from high school? There might be one or two among us that haven't had that event yet, but you remember that time in your life? I graduated high school on a beautiful June summer evening. It was sweltering hot, 1975. I had spent the entire day on top of a tractor mowing grass in a local park. And by the time it came to evening, and all I had worn while I was riding that tractor was a pair of shorts and a pair of tennis shoes. So I was pretty crispy by the time I had to put on that robe for graduation. And I remember it felt like burlap against my neck and down my arms. But I was graduating. That was the good news. I was ready to move on. Because there were times during those 12 years of learning, I thought they would never end. I have spent hours in fourth grade that felt like years. You remember those days? But sure enough, suddenly the day came. They said, "You're done." "Really? Well, what do I do now?" You know, always there had been some script to follow. You had to get out of bed. You had to get on that bus. You had to sit in that room for so many days. You had to do this and you had, but now, what was in front of me was largely up to me. What am I going to do now? And there was so much ahead of me. I had yet to meet the woman I was going to marry. It would take me more than a year before I would find out what I was going to do with the rest of my life. Graduation marks an accomplishment, but it also opens a door to an uncertain future. A novel yet to be written, a life on the verge of living. When we come to Easter, we come to Jesus' graduation from earth to glory, from death to life, from subjection to exaltation. He came, he fulfilled a mission, but it was just a beginning. He had in mind so much. He had in mind all of eternity. He had in mind you and me. Because he lives, we also will live. Because he overcame, we also can overcome. But oh, what a journey. Psalm 22. This psalm was written as David looked forward to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It was written before crucifixion was even a thing. But through the Spirit, David saw these things. Verse 12. "Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me, roaring lions that tear their prey open, their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is turned to wax, it is melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircle me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." Lord, a moment ago we sang a song and we ask you, lead us to the cross. And we ask you that, Lord, again. Take us there where you were. Lord, we need to come again. We need to take a moment to remember the sacrifice made on our behalf. And then, Lord, as we remember that, we need to have a change in our heart. We need to be renewed in our spirit and our resolve to live out the rest of our life in honor and glory of this action that you have taken on our behalf. May you be glorified in us now and ever is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, David had a vision of the cross which was to come. He was the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was a king. He was a conqueror. But in the spirit, the Lord took him to that place in that time that he experienced what his descendant Jesus would one day experience as he hung between heaven and earth. He opens this psalm with that line that's become famous because Jesus uttered it near the time when he gave up his spirit, when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And as soon as Jesus said that, the Israelites would have been reminded of this text, of this psalm that we studied this morning. It would have been rolled back through their mind that this is no accident. This was prophecy. This was predicted long ago by God himself. And in this line, we see the greatest horror of the cross. That feeling of separation from the Father and from the Holy Spirit. Ever Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had been one. We'd seen Jesus praying through the night and enjoying that sweet connection with his Father, with Holy Communion, God as one. But now, as Jesus bore our sin, as he wore our sin that day, he felt the sting of death, that hollow, lonely, desperate, foreboding hopelessness of those condemned in their sin. Everyone outside of Christ will suffer death, not physical death, but eternal death. A loneliness, a palpable aching within the soul and the spirit, knowing you have been cut off forevermore. And Jesus, that washed over him there on that cross, always God had communed with him. Those long nights in prayer, the times when he had sent angels to minister to his son there in the desert while he was fasting, there in the garden while he was agonizing over the pain that was to come. But for now, he hangs alone, forsaken, the rightful penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death. Death is separation from God. From the opening verse, Jesus goes on to speak of God. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. Here I am, I hang, I am forsaken, I am alone. But you are the hope of Israel. You are the hope of all. You sit eternally enthroned. But I am a worm, not a man. Scorned by everyone, despised by the people. As he hung there, he was mocked by the crowds of onlookers. They came close to watch him bleed. They laughed at his pain and his anxiety. All of hell showed up to mock and glory in his suffering. David likens it to being surrounded by wild bulls, having roaring lions tearing at your flesh, dogs moving in for the kill. Jesus' life was being poured out like water. His heart was melting inside his chest like wax. His bones were all out of joint. His strength was gone, completely gone. His tongue clung to the roof of his mouth. The scoffers got even closer to enjoy his misery. His bones can be counted as his flesh literally melts away and is evaporated, one bone after another, till he's looking so much like a skeleton hanging there. They divide his garments and cast lots for his clothes. Never has a soul felt more alone, more deserted, more violated. God came down to rescue his people, and they nailed him to a cross and mocked. He reached out in love, and they answered with spikes through his hands and his feet. Verse 19 tells us, but you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lion. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. Jesus felt helpless. He felt alone, but he knew not to trust those feelings. He calls upon God even though he feels not his presence, even though that separation is so strong, so vital in those moments. He knows that these hours of torment will end. Oh, darkness is having its day, but it's about to meet its end. It was there that Jesus lived by faith as never before. He counted the moments until relief would come. Our Jesus suffered well. Our Jesus suffered in faith. The dogs would not win. The lions would fail. Oh, they would kill his body, but they would release his spirit in the process, free to return to the Father, to his throne, to his title, his robes, his authority, his destiny. Already his heart begins to beat a little stronger, even as it grows weaker. Already he begins to see what his broken body will become. In verse 22, Jesus begins to enjoy the revival his sacrifice will ignite. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. He sees an ocean of people flooding into heaven. He hears them coming in, singing his praise and worshiping his name. He sees himself in the center of a mighty throng of worshipers, those who have been redeemed, people from every language and nation and tribe and family gathered around the throne as hallelujahs roll from one end of heaven to the other and then back again. Yes, Jesus senses victory even as his life ebbs away. Because he lives, we also will live. Because he died, we will know joy and freedom and victory. I want to endure my sufferings like Jesus endured his. I want faith to arise even as my life evaporates. Joy to replace sorrow. Anticipation to supplant weakness. Praise to take over my pain. Yes, Lord. Jesus endured that cross on the knowledge that God is good and his promises are true. He didn't have to feel it. It had already become a part of the essence of his life. More precious than his food. More precious than water or air. Life comes from death. Victory follows the grave as surely as day follows night. Jesus' followers wept. They tenderly took that lifeless body from the cross, wrapped it in linen and spices, and laid it in a new tomb. His crucifiers rolled a large stone in front of the entrance and posted a guard. Day turned to night. Night turned to day. Once more night came. But early the next morning, it was on a Sunday. The ground shook. An angel appeared. The stone rolled away and the guards fainted for fear. There was a mighty roar as the Lion of Judah put Satan in his place, pinning him to the floor, helpless, whining, and afraid. Up from the grave he arose. What a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain. And he lives forever with his saints to reign. Jesus had graduated. He had completed his mission triumphantly. All of heaven rejoiced. Adam, Noah, Abraham, David, Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Ruth, Mary, so many others stood in applause, stood and cheered as he came, as he secured his throne once and for all. His praise filled heaven. Glory to the Lamb. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has overcome. All of hell quaked and grew nauseous. Victory was snatched from their jaws and replaced with the knowledge of utter eternal defeat. For the very first time, death hung around their necks with a strange foreboding. The hunters had become the prey. The fearmongers shivered with fright. From now on, everything would be different. Thousands on earth would rise up to kick the devil's butt in Jesus' name. Many would replace the one, and a kingdom would rise to fill the earth. We have a drama this morning. We're going to take you back a couple thousand years. As we sang, as we prayed, lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Let's go there this morning and allow him, allow your emotions, then allow your praise to take over. Would you stand, please?
Yeah. down the Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem that day. The soldiers tried to clear the narrow street, but the crowd pressed in to see the man condemned to die. He was bleeding from a beating. There were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head. And he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Dolorosa,
do not be afraid, for I know that you have come to look for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was laid. Now go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead, and he has gone on ahead of the Galilee. It is there you will see him. I have told you this.
Stars they wept, the morning sun was dead, the Savior of the world was fallen, his body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. The sun, the dark.
You may be seated for a moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. This life passes in a breath. What he has done is eternal. Where do you stand in that? Are you ready should he come back for you today? Are you ready to go home to be with him forever? Have you been holding back? Have you been messing around? Is your life right with God? The Bible talks about people who have a good start, but they falter along the way. Some drift away. Some stomp away. But they're not ready and they're not right with God today. They heard the word. But there's a beautiful story of a prodigal son who knew what was good and knew what was right, turned his back on it a while, got into all kind of trouble. And when he came back home, the father was there with open arms waiting for him.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't let guilt keep you from the cross. Let it drive you to it. If you're not ready today, if you're not right, now is the moment. This is the time. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me just for a moment? Anybody here slip up a hand and say, "Preacher, would you just please pray for me? Please remember me in your closing prayer. I'm afraid I'm not ready should the Lord come today, but I want to be. I want to not just be ready for his coming. I want to be ready to serve him. I want the rest of my life to count for the kingdom of God." Anybody just slip up a hand and say, "That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. I want to be right. I want to be ready. I give him the rest of my life." Anybody this morning? Would you pray this prayer after me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for coming and dying on the cross just for me. Please forgive me of all my sin. Come into my heart. Be my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And Father, we ask you not just to forgive our sins, but indeed to be our Lord. Teach us how to live, really live, to be obedient to your word, to be cognizant, to be aware, to be alert to the things of the kingdom now. We spend enough time working on our own little life. Lord, where has it really gotten us? We work for you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless. Happy Easter.